From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up.
Wake up. WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant,
presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.
One more Corner Pocket.
Now here's WarChant.com's Asan Hajivandi
and Corey Clark.
Wake up! What is up? Welcome on into Wake Up War Chant, presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill, Tallahassee, Florida. Head out there this weekend, party it up with all the good people, the Denzians or Denizens. I'll always say Denzians for some reason, Corey. I think I have a mild case of dyslexia because I always fumble over things. Who knows? I need to get better. WarChant.com, your ultimate Semel sports source. Promo code WarChant30 gets you a 30 free day membership on the website. Use it. Hit the thumbs up if you're listening to us on YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube page. That's totally free. No credit card information needed. And maybe a 5-star rating and subsequent review on iTunes or whatever Apple device you use to listen to your podcasts. So we are here for you folks, recording a show. Oh, hey, and real quick, shout out to our guy Nick. Apparently this guy Nick listens to the podcast every single day. This is according to his wife Coco. She emailed Corey and I saying, he listens to the show every morning. He's graduating on May 13th. That is today as you're listening to this podcast with his doctorate from Baylor. Our guy, PhD from Baylor. She asked if we could give him a shout out. So there you go. Absolutely. Congratulations to you, Nick, and for having a pretty awesome wife, apparently, in Coco. As we record this, Florida State softball game is still going on. First round action against Virginia. Listen, it's the ACC tournament. If it meant really a lot, we'd wait this thing up. But, you know, they're going to be a top 8 seed, and that's all that matters. This weekend, don't forget, Florida State takes on Miami at Hauser, 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and then noon, Saturday and Sunday. Those games will be televised. Saturday on ACC Network, Sunday will be on ESPNU. So tune in for that one. Feels like they win that series. They cement themselves in the tournament, I would think. Right, Corey? They sit pretty good right now, but if you win the Miami series, you could go ahead and say that you've tied that streak of all-time consecutive regional appearances, I would think. No?
Yes, I would think that as well. That would be two other really big RPI wins. You know, they'd have more opportunities. You know, they got another game with Florida. They're at UNC, and they got whoever they play in the ACC tournament. So they got chances. But yes, I would say that guarantees. I mean, they're sitting really well right now, whatever they are in the RPI, like right around 20, of being getting an at-large berth, even if they don't win the tournament. But yes, two wins this weekend, sew it up. There's no way that you could have that kind of RPI with that strength of schedule at least 33 wins and not get into the tournament. But you'd also have bigger fish to go catch, like perhaps getting a regional.
Yeah.
You'd still be on board for that. I don't think that can happen unless they win this series. If they don't win this series, they're not hosting a regional. They'll be on the road.
Agreed. All right, let's resume what we did yesterday, and that's the Renegade Express. Also, if you missed out on any of the shows, do check out warchant.com for full wrap-ups from Amelia Island and Ira's reporting at the ACC meetings, all that stuff over at the website, warchant.com. John Henry Jones Jr., welcome back. I'm really hoping the ACC does ditch divisions as soon as possible. The scheduling possibilities are so much more interesting with that 3-5-5 format that Ira mentioned. And I know this isn't Wake Up Irish, but there's some fascinating implications for Notre Dame. Maybe there's still a way to make their 5-game ACC schedule work within the new format. Has there been any mention of Notre Dame football at the meetings so far? That is a really good question. We asked Ira about this off the air, and he said no. Like, no one had mentioned Notre Dame at all, which is, I guess, maybe a little bit interesting, especially with this whole 3-5-5 model and how Notre Dame fits into it, because they're not a full-time conference member, plus, you know, this whole pipe dream of them maybe joining the ACC to blow up this entire conference. But yeah, according to Ira, when we spoke to him, no real explicit mention of Notre Dame and any of the people he spoke to when he was out there at Amelia Island this past week. And then the second part, Corey says, then thinking more long-term, what does happen to Notre Dame if and when Power 5 goes to the two mega conferences in the Big Ten and SEC? Do they still try to hold on to their independence for their special scheduling? If they don't want to join, maybe they can go play exhibition games in Europe and Japan.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, no, they're always going to make room for Notre Dame. Notre Dame will always have a seat at the table. Don't know what they would do as far as
Notre Dame's only independent. Sorry, Corey. They're only independent because it makes financial sense for them. The moment it no longer does, they'll be like, whatever, we don't need NBC's exclusive television rights, or we don't need their exclusive networking to put our stuff out there. They'll go wherever makes the most financial sense for them, don't you think?
Well, absolutely. Yeah, I just, it's hard to predict what that would be 10, 12 years from now, whenever this actually comes to fruition. And there are two mega conferences, or they do break away from the Power Five breaks away from the Group of Five. It's hard to know what the TV deals will be, how ESPN will structure it, where Notre Dame fits in and all that. But yes, Notre Dame is going to be taken care of, and they will have a seat at the table. Whether they're independent or because it makes financial sense, they do join a conference. They are, you know, full time football wise. I'm talking about. They'll be there. They'll be in the mix. They're not going to not have college football without Notre Dame. It would be cool if Notre Dame could be like, yeah, we'll join the ACC. But that apparently that's not. They're just fine doing what they do.
Like, you can't blame them though. I mean, they make more money being independent. You know, I mean, I'm not gonna. I get. You know,
I mean, I can blame them if you know. I blame all these people that are making a ton of money because they don't care about the future of the sport. It's all about the money now, which is great for you now. They're not might not be a sport for you to be a part of in 25 years. If you keep going down this road, it's going to be regionalized. It's going to have the popularity of NASCAR. If you want to keep going down this road, that's fine. Good luck. Or you could all work together, the people that are making a ton of money, and think about the betterment of the sport. You know, Jerry Jones thinks about the betterment of the sport.
Yeah.
Think about what he could get with his own TV contracts and say, screw you. I'm going to do it by myself. But he's part of a league. He's part of a league that awards a trophy. And if Notre Dame could be part of a league that awarded a trophy, then that would make everybody more money. But I know that's socialist.
I know somebody mentioned it. I think it was NYC Noel too mentioned on the show the other day in the question, but you know, just in terms of underestimating how this could pollute the environment. And I know everyone's like, hey, if you're not for these kids getting, you know, $100,000 checks for whatever reason, you know, you're part of the problem or whatever, beat it. We'll be fine without you. Give it 3 years, man. Give it three or 4 years of your third string tackle somehow making $85,000, and then you still go 9-3 and see how many people start checking out. I mean, I think even maybe not Alabama, maybe not Georgia, maybe some Tennessee fans. You know, maybe some Ole Miss fans, maybe some Florida State fans. I think enough fans from enough teams aren't going to like it's just.
Well, and here's the difference, right? Like you know, as a Falcons fan, I'm upset because the Falcons were terrible this year, but I didn't spend any of my money on it. Right. I didn't give money to the right guard that ended up playing two games and getting hurt and then transferred. Like that wasn't my money. You weren't asking for my money to pay the team. But now all your big money invest, all your big money fans, and even some small money fans, you have all these collectives where you're asking for money to help put the roster together. And if that roster still is winning 5 or 6 games, yeah, you're going to stop getting some money. So there's an inherent pressure now that comes with this. But yes, I mean, let's see. Maybe we're all making much ado about nothing, and it'll be the sport we've always loved, whatever. Or it could really be hurting the long-term potential of this sport. And nobody's at the wheel steering this thing.
Daryl, Thomasville, North Carolina, Captain D underscore 63. Good morning or evening, Corey and Aslan. First, I am for getting rid of the divisions. I guess I am most things, I am in the minority. I'm fine with divisions. I don't like this whole top two team thing, but whatever. Hopefully it's a problem we'll have to encounter early and often when they do this. Get rid of the divisions, I'm in favor of it, and play teams closer to home and play every team 3 or 4 years. Well, it's every 2 years then, or every 3 years, right, Corey? Because the 3-5-5, or every 2 years, because it's 3-5-5. You'll play 5 teams 1 year and then a different 5 the next year. So
Right, correct.
Gentlemen, as you all mentioned earlier in the week, the ACC is getting left in the dust as far as money goes against the SEC and the big conferences, Big Ten, I guess, by several million. What would it take for another conference to pluck away Florida State, Clemson, Miami from the ACC, or what does the ACC have to do to try to catch up with these other conferences? Does the Notre Dame have to join full-time? Does the ACC have to go and pluck a couple great Power 5 teams away to come into the ACC to get a new deal from ESPN? What say you all? Thanks for all you do. Support warchant.com. Hit the like button. Support those who support this show and these great hosts. Ooh, thank you, Daryl. Go Noles.
Well, yeah, and Phillips was asked a lot about that on Wednesday at Amelia Island, and he didn't have a ton of great answers for it that I thought. Said there's going to be a chief revenue officer, so that's something. But, yeah, you know, look, Notre Dame full-time would certainly shake up the TV contract for sure. But as Aslan alluded to, why would Notre Dame do that other than, you know, maybe trying to save the sport? But whatever, it's fine. But other than that, yeah, I just don't know. Who do you pull? Like, who's going to move the needle out there? What team out there gets ratings?
Yeah, that's not in a Southern Cal. Maybe the alliance has to come to fruition. You're hoping the maybe the 3-5-5 somehow gets adapted into a 3-4-1, and you start scheduling a Pac-12 team every year, play Washington or Oregon or Southern Cal or UCLA, and then four good teams.
Yeah, I mean, that might be the only option, honestly, is if those three teams start doing these cross-sectional non-conference games, but it's got to be more than one a year. Yeah. But that and maybe they have their own championship game between those three conferences. I don't know. But you've got to figure something out because the way it's going now, there's really nothing you can do other than getting a new contract and, you know, that's not happening anytime soon, we don't think. So, it'd be great if you got like a USC and an Oregon 1 year and then like, I don't even care, like a Cal Arizona State the next year. That's something you could sell as a package to, you know, and there's all these, I mean, but again, there's the grant of rights. You that's 2036. So you'd have to break that up and see if that is even doable. But yeah, I mean, you'd have to think outside the box, man. And I don't know that there's, I don't even know if you get as far outside the box as possible, if there's anything to come up with. Notre Dame joining full time would be great, but I mean, we've been doing this now for 10 years. It's clearly not happening. They're fine with what they do. They make the playoff the way they do it. I mean, they're not going to win a national championship, but they make the playoff. They're in the running for the playoff every year. They get their USC game every year. They get their Army and Navy game every year. And they love it like that. So they have no real reason to want to join a conference full-time. The only reason they would is if it was said you have to be in a conference to play for a championship. If they stopped getting preferential treatment because of what they did when TVs were in black and white, and if they stopped getting that kind of treatment and actually had to join a conference to play for a championship instead of make their own schedules every year, then that would be the push they would need to get in, but who's going to force them to do that? Nobody. So we're kind of stuck.
Buckle up.
But either way, something can happen. Maybe the miracles happen all the time, guys.
The show's worldwide. You know, we've got listeners in Singapore, Japan, Russia. Maybe if we can get the ear of the guy at the Vatican City, do you think the Pope would step in? Could the Pope go to Notre Dame and just talk about how important college football is to society? I'm like, come on, step up, guys.
It's a great idea. I feel like he's a different kind of Pope. Maybe he would. Maybe he would talk. Maybe he loves Florida State. I don't know. Big Dalvin Cook fan, the Pope. I don't know that you ever heard that, but I read a biography about him where he was a huge Dalvin fan. So maybe he cares enough about college football to make that happen. But, yeah, apparently that's the only person that could tell Notre Dame what to do. And even then, it's iffy.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Island Chief, wake up! Hope the visit to Amelia Island was productive. 108 holes of golf. That does not include the 3 mini golfs on the island. And if you want a burger, T-Ray's gas station. Yum. Mm,
okay. All right.
Need to get that over to Ira next year. Yeah. Maybe you'll go. Maybe you can go, Corey, and then cleanse your hands in the Himalayan salt.
So, the Himalayan rock salt. Rock salt. I feel like Ira. This is Ira's thing, man. He loves Amelia Island.
All right, the ACC has teams in 7 of the top 26 television markets in the United States. That does not include Orlando, Tampa, and New York City, where we have claim to a good share of the collegiate market. I don't know about New York City. I mean, everybody's got a good share of the collegiate market up there just because of the sheer number. Like, there's probably as many Alabama fans up there as Florida State fans, I would think.
I think he's talking about Syracuse. He's talking about Syracuse having a bunch of fans in New York City.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. All right. So with being in 7 of these top 26 markets, and that doesn't include Orlando and Tampa, which are top 15, I think, and the New York City, which is the number one market in the country, how can they be failing this bad? Any chance these guys can figure it out? Can we produce a quality product that will compete for viewers? I have a hard time thinking of any more than 3 or 4 teams that can compete.
How do they do Nielsen ratings, Aslan? I know back in the 80s, it used to be you were selected. They had like 25,000 random families that would you'd track what you'd watch, and then you'd fill it out, you'd give it to the Nielsen people, and they'd come up with a rating system based on that. But that that's how Rain Man was. You remember that scene in Rain Man where Tom Cruise lies to that family?
Yeah.
He's like, hey, we're with the Nielsen, because his brother had to watch Wapner. And he's like, we're with the Nielsens. We want to borrow your TV. But anyway, they can't do that anymore, right? Or do they?
No, I think in 20, like, when I was in Mississippi, they still did diary. We were a diary market. We were a small enough market that things were done by diary, which is your thing. They mail it out. You write down what you watch. You mail it back to Nielsen.
But
everything now is metered. So I don't know if it's built into your television, your set-top box, or it's built into your cable box. But everything now is like automated. I think even Tallahassee, they'll know like at the end of every day what their sort of viewership was.
So my thought of finding 40% of the Nielsen viewers and just paying them to watch Syracuse Boston College, like paying them $100. Like, you don't have to watch it. Just say you watched it. Or if they're monitoring your TV, keep your TV on and then go watch your iPad for 3 hours.
Yeah.
But we've got to do this. And all of a sudden, you know, Syracuse Boston College in September is getting a 12 share or something. That's the only way it's going to be. Yeah, but it doesn't matter, because the point of the argument why they brought Syracuse and Boston College into the conference is all those eyeballs and TV sets. And you saw how long it took to get the ACC network off the ground. You see what kind of commercials they run on that thing. It did not matter at all, because people in Syracuse and Boston don't care. And people in New York City and Boston don't care about college football and college sports in general. So it was pointless to bring those people in. I get what you're saying about the TV market, but they can't make people care about college sports if they don't care about college sports. And there's 25 million people in those two cities? And very, very, very few of them care about college sports, so it doesn't matter what the TV market is, sadly. But I'm with you. It's been a failure.
What if we just had everybody listening to the show go to their local Best Buy and put every television in the Best Buy onto the ACC network?
Okay, you think they monitor something like that? Maybe,
you know, it's worth a shot.
Okay,
go to every corner pocket, like, yeah, establishment in your neighborhood. They put it all on the ACC network.
Tell Bill at Corner Pocket, hey, man, I want that whole Vegas wall with all those different TVs. They all need to be on the ACC network right now.
It's, I mean, I don't want to say the SEC took things more seriously or it mattered more to them. I'm not one of these bad luck guys, but is it just maybe bad luck? The fact that Miami just has not figured out how to have a winning football program. The fact that Virginia Tech is falling on hard times as well. You know, North Carolina continues to be, quote unquote, some sort of sleeping giant. I mean, who knows?
It's been asleep for a long time. It might just be dead.
Yeah, you know, Georgia Tech, listen, you're in Atlanta, I mean, but you're second fiddle to UGA huge margin. But, I mean, I don't know, was it when in the 80s, was it a little bit of a tighter sort of split between those two? I don't know how much of it, but the bottom line is Florida State, we're not doing our part. Miami's not doing their part. Virginia Tech's not doing their part.
Right, but I think, and that's true, and it is bad luck to, like we talked about in the last show, it is bad luck that Miami, for the ACC purposes, that Miami just cratered. After they joined the ACC, it's not bad luck to know that Syracuse and Boston College were going to bring you diddly.
Yeah.
Nothing. They bring you nothing. They bring nothing to the table. Zero. And that was predictable. Anybody that knows anything knew that was predictable. And you know, they just don't care up there. And you already have enough non-caring football schools in this conference. Why bring two more to the party? They just don't care. I mean, even you watch a Boston College basketball game, there's 1,200 people at it. They don't care about anything but hockey. In Syracuse, they do care about basketball at least, but they don't care about the sport that matters. And they haven't been good at it, I don't know, since Donovan McNabb was there. So it's just those were easy to predict bad moves. Louisville's been a good move. That's relatively speaking, though, right?
I mean,
yes, correct. It's not a needle mover.
Yeah, like
Louisville's not a needle mover.
Yeah, I don't know. It's frustrating the more you really do think about it.
Like you would have, like, what would it have taken? The money, resources, and time you spent on Louisville, Syracuse, Pitt, and Boston College. Even take Louisville out of the equation. The last three: Syracuse, Pitt, Boston College. If you could have had the forethought to say back then, what if we went after Texas and Oklahoma? Because the SEC did. Now, I know the SEC has a lot more pull than the ACC does currently. But in 2010, it wasn't necessarily that way. And also, the money was closer. And again, you probably couldn't have pulled Texas and Oklahoma in 2010. They wouldn't have. The Texas wanted its own network and everything. But, you know, if Texas and Oklahoma were out there to be bought, the ACC could have. I mean, think about the shift, that the seismic shift in this sport. If it was the ACC bringing in Texas and Oklahoma. But nobody even thought to do that. Nobody even thought, I'm sure, to even make an overture. Like, would you guys want to come play with us? We'll give you this, this, and this. And think about what it'll do to the TV contract, which is already more than what you're making in the Big 12. But think about what you're doing for the TV contract. And, yeah, we'll let you keep the Longhorn Network, too, if that's what it takes. But nobody thought like that, and they go and join the juggernaut instead. It's like Durant joining the Warriors when he could have gone and played for the Hawks.
Yeah. I mean, we could do a whole show on this of just like hypotheticals and what ifs and how it became. Don't have a good answer for you, though.
Yeah, and there's no Texas or Oklahoma's out there to go poach.
No, nope. West Virginia.
The SEC got them.
That's all that's left out there. And then you're trying to convince yourself, oh yeah, Pitt, you know, backyard brawl, bring it back. And
sure,
that's
sure.
Just not at all. I mean, just like it's always been popular, this sport. I mean, at some point did the popularity explode and boom? Like, was there one TV contract cycle that just really changed the entire calculus of this all? I mean, was somebody in Birmingham thinking, all right, we're so close to making this just an absolute huge billion-dollar industry? Meanwhile, everybody in North Carolina and the Big 12 and the Pac-12 was like, you know, we're amateurism sports and we're going to keep it the way it is. And we just didn't have the visionaries at those places that, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't know. But there's probably a good book in there.
Like the SEC, dude, Mike Slive was the Sun Belt commissioner. Like, Mike Slive is who presided over everything that made the SEC boom. And they took him from the Sun Belt. And
yeah,
it's just, I don't want to keep thinking about it. All right. Oh, boy. Three graphs. Dave, Kentucky, Bardstown. Bourbon is your friend. I like my question from last week about pranks you guys might play on each other. Though I'm disappointed to hear the hijinks levels are low. Maybe instead of pranks, War Chant should institute certain punishments for staff members for various reasons, like being late to meetings, not getting articles completed on time, or excessive grammatical errors. Punishments might consist of having to create a burner account on War Chant and picking fights with people about nitpicky grammar rules. Parenthetically, he adds, you used a gerund, or a gerund, a gerund, G-E-R-U-N-D. Do you know how to pronounce that, Corey?
I don't.
You used a gerund when you should have used an infinitive, you moron. Way to end that sentence with a preposition. You use an adjective to modify an adverb, you troglodyte. Or perhaps even better, you have to ask an embarrassing question in a press conference, like on the show Impractical Jokers. Aslan would ask Coach Norvell, Mike, is there a certain dessert you like after a big victory? Corey would ask Coach Dugans, hey, Ron, how often do you call Peter Warwick just to say hi? Now that I think of it, those are pretty good questions, and I really am curious what the answers are.
Yeah, they're not embarrassing.
Here's an idea I have for the Marching Chiefs. Okay. Remember the show Benson? It ran on ABC from 1979 to 1986.
We all remember it, right, gang?
Yeah.
I do, actually. And Benson actually came from soap. He was a character on soap, and then they gave him his own show, so it was actually a spinoff show.
It's been almost 40 years since I have seen an episode, but I remember it being a pretty awesome show, and Robert...
Goulier.
Thank you.
No. Yeah, Goulier. No,
it's not Goulier. That's a singer, a crooner.
But it starts with a G, right?
Goulam. I don't know. It's French spelling. Yeah,
yeah.
G-U-I-L-L-A-U-M-E.
Oh, man, I used to know how to pronounce that. Yeah. Guillaume. We'll say that.
All right. I'll pull it up on YouTube here in a second and listen to how it's pronounced, and then I'll come back and correct it at some point. Anyhow, he always saves the day for the hapless governor. I think the Marching Chiefs should play the theme song from Benson every time Trey Benson scores a touchdown.
Oh, boy.
I know it's obscure, but it's a pleasant jingle, and it would be pretty funny for the few folks who get it. I think there's fewer and fewer
of us that would get it, though, Dave. And also, I don't even know if I could remember the Benson theme.
Yeah, I
used to watch that show. That was a funny show. He was the butler. I think he was the butler for a dim-witted governor.
Was Mr. Belvedere a spinoff of Benson?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
All right. I'm trying to find out how to pronounce his name. Anyhow, last paragraph from Dave. Lastly, I watched Robin Hood Men in Tights, and aside from being a spectacular film, total Oscar snub, I was super excited to see them do the tomahawk chop to cheer Robin on in an archery contest.
Yep.
The movie was filmed and released in 1993 before our national championship season and before it was really popular with the Braves and Chiefs. So it must be a reference to Florida State football. If anyone misses humor that would be deemed politically incorrect today, I highly recommend this movie.
I'm going to correct them there. That was the Braves. The Braves made it world famous in 91 when they got to the World Series. That's when they handed out all the foam, the rubber foam tomahawk chops, the little chop.
Tomahawks.
at the games and everything that started in 91. So that's when I'm sure that's when it caught whoever wrote or produced that in Hollywood. It's when it caught their eyes when the Braves were playing the Dodgers that year to beat them out of the pennant. I would like to think it was back. It was because it was started at Florida State, but I think it was they only knew about it because
Robert
of the Braves.
Guillaume,
Dave Chappelle's in that movie.
Yeah.
A young Dave Chappelle, yeah.
Google says it's pronounced Robert Guillaume.
Guillaume. There you go. Correct. Yep.
There you go.
Guillaume.
I would not have been able to go on my weekend if I didn't get that figured out.
Yeah, good work.
That would hurt. All right. Thank you for your hijinks, as usual, Dave. We appreciate it.
Good old Dave. Bringing it every week, doesn't he?
Drill Sergeant Porter. Wake up! Having our three permanent conference games consist of Miami, Clemson, and Georgia Tech would make the most sense. But a few years ago, I was at a gym on base. I met a guy that went to NC State. He told me, apparently, the FSU game is really big for them, to the point where they have a countdown clock for the FSU game somewhere on their campus. Also, crazy how the ACC can enjoy the state of Florida with their meetings, but couldn't get their network right in the same state. Either way, go Noles.
or like have any of the championships in Florida ever. They're all in, well, yeah, they're all in North Carolina. Oh, and shout out, by the way, to the women's golf team for they won their regional, like steamrolled to it, and the top four in the regional go to the nationals, and they won it. So obviously they finished in the top four, and our girl Beatrice Wallen was the low medalist. She got the lowest score of the 3 days. So she won a gold medal, I guess, for that. You get a medal for that. But yeah, they performed really, really well and dominated some really good teams. And now they'll go out to I don't know where the national championships are, but it'll probably be like a week from now. And they'll be there. Florida State will be there with a chance to win a championship.
I was trying to look it up, but couldn't find it in time. All right, that is a wrap for us. Look at
that.
Did we
answer that question?
Oh, wait, no. He just talked about NC State. I wouldn't be opposed. Listen, I'm all for Virginia Tech. I would, you know, figure it out. Brent Pry or whoever their new head coach is. Be good. I'm cool with that. I wouldn't mind playing three teams that end up winning 10 games at the end of the season. The standard is the standard, Corey. And I know at times you want to create an environment that makes that standard easier to get back to. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, yep. The standard was sort of achieved in a time and era when this conference didn't have a lot of really good teams. But we Correct. Played a bunch of good teams that were outside of the conference, and we beat them. So, listen, Georgia Tech makes the most sense. I in no way, shape, or form am trying to say that it shouldn't be Georgia Tech. I'll be upset if it's Boston College or Syracuse or Pitt or – if it's not Virginia Tech, then it's like, well, I don't know, maybe North Carolina, or just give me somebody that's been relevant in college football here somewhat recently. And relevant is relatively speaking, because in this conference, there really hasn't been anybody besides us and Clemson. So
correct. And I will say this, though, like even if they don't make a Georgia Tech, the beauty is you will play Georgia Tech every other year now, and you will play in Atlanta every 4 years now as opposed to every seven. So at least in that regard, even if they're one of the other five, the way they rotate, you still will get Georgia Tech twice out of every 4 years in a road game in Atlanta, once out of every 4 years, as opposed to once out of seven. So it is better. You're not going 7 years without visiting a place. Like Florida State's been to Virginia Tech. They haven't been back since 12, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
When was the last 10
years since they played at a conference opponent's stadium. It's been 10 years.
When was the last time Georgia Tech played here before COVID?
I think that would have been...
like 08 or something?
Would it have been 08, right? Maybe? That can't be right, is it? It might be. Yeah, or not 08, 09.
Okay. Was it Marcus? So Marcus Sims wasn't here, wasn't it? All right.
Yeah, that was in Atlanta in 08. And then 09 was the game where... It was like 28-21 at halftime, and each team had scored every time they, or 35-28, and each team had scored a touchdown all every time they got the ball.
Yeah, 11 years. Crazy. Yeah, how much would, because I know you're talking about if it's Miami and Clemson and then whomever else, you're pretty much guaranteeing yourself that you're going to be playing maybe not the two best teams, but probably two of the more talented teams in this conference. Like what would you think if Miami's permanent opponent isn't Clemson? And what would you think if Clemson's other permanent opponent besides us is not Miami? Like, what would if Clemson's ends up being their permanent opponent is us, NC State, and Wake? And then Miami's permanent opponent is us, North Carolina, and, you know, Syracuse.
Well, if it's not geographical, I just want to know what the thinking is.
Yeah.
Like, tell me what led to these decisions. Was it out of a hat? Was there lobbying? Did Florida State not want Georgia Tech? Like, I just want to know what the
It feels like Michael Alford, and I don't want to put it all on him, but like somebody should be able to go to Jim Phelps and be like, listen, if this is what we're doing, the 3-5-5 model, it has to be Georgia Tech. It has to be Miami, Clemson, Georgia Tech. Like, who would say no? Like, what would the pushback be?
I think the only thing I could think is if those are just that's the pod, like maybe that becomes the pod for those three teams. Are four teams. Maybe Georgia Tech's like, hey, I don't want to play Florida State, Miami, and Clemson. Are you crazy?
Oh, okay.
But not that Georgia Tech should have much of a voice. But I don't think it's going to be like that. I don't think they're going to be their own pods necessarily. But I do think that, like, so Georgia Tech would, I think Duke would be one maybe. We all love the Georgia Tech-Duke football rivalry, don't we, gang?
Oh, yeah.
So many great moments over the years, like that time where – And so anyway, I don't think it will be I don't think it would be a pod necessarily, but that would be the only thing I would think is like maybe Georgia Tech doesn't want that because they're like, we got to play Georgia. We always play Clemson because Clemson is geographical for them. So they're going to have to play Clemson and Florida State now. They might not be a fan of that, but I would just want to know how it was done. What was the formula used to determine the three? Who did you poll people? Did you poll the coaches? Is it just Jim Phillips saying this? Did you pull it out of a hat? Did you use some analytics? Like, just tell us what the reasoning was and how it came to be that these are the three teams, if it's not just geographical.
Right on. All right. That is a let me see. Let me shake the bag. Sometimes I get some stuck at the bottom. I feel bad about it. Yep, that's it. That's a wrap.
Okay,
that's everybody.
Good. We did it.
All right, we did do it. We'll be back on Monday, wrapping up the weekend. Probably have Michael Langston on the program also discussing recruiting. So if you miss out on any of that stuff, we'll catch you up. But figure out when it's happening. It's called news for a reason. It's new. It's not maybe news on Mondays. Subscribe to warchant.com. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. All these things will get you the information as quickly as possible. But we'll be here for you on Monday. He's Corey. I'm Aslan. Thank you for listening to Wake Up War Chant, presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.
WarChant.com is the ultimate inside source for FSU football and recruiting. And now you can get in on the action for free for an entire month. WarChant.com is offering a risk-free 30-day trial subscription. Get full access to the number one website covering the Seminoles just by entering the promo code WARCHANT30. That's WARCHANT30. Sign up and get in on the world's most active FSU message boards. Receive breaking news, stories from our award-winning staff, plus get exclusive interviews and videos. Just enter the promo code WARCHANT30. WARCHANT.com, your ultimate Seminole sports source.